Hello, this is Rob Kiskevich with SSTI, and this is the third SSTI podcast of 2011. Today I'm speaking with Randy Berridge, president of the Florida High Tech Corridor Council, a regional economic development initiative of the University of Central Florida, the University of South Florida, and the University of Florida. The council's matching grants research program was the 2010 winner of SSTI's Excellence in TBET Award in the category of Improving Competitiveness of Existing Industries. Hi, Randy. Thank you for speaking with me today.
Rob, thank you, and thank you for the kind invitation from SSTI.
Well, let's start with a little bit to give some of our listeners some background and a brief history of the Matching Grants Research Program and how it fits with the Council's overall mission.
Rob, thank you. Our Council, now in our starting our 16th year, was an outgrowth of an effort by then two great universities, University of South Florida, University of Central Florida, to help a major expansion of an AT&T operation happen in the Metro Orlando area as opposed to going offshore. And we had new state, city, and county incentives to help with the expansion happening here, not enough to compete with the incentives available offshore. What made the difference was the commitment of the two universities to provide research funding. They would provide the funding. We would define the research to be done. President Hitt, president of UCF, now the second largest university in the country, and then President Castor of president USF, now the ninth largest university in the country, it was their idea that what we did for a large company, we could do for companies of all sizes. So the fact in 1995, early 96, of two universities, state universities in the state of Florida talking to each other was kind of novel. And the relationship with a rather large company like AT&T, partnering together with the Florida House, the Florida Senate, and the governor's office to create a state-funded organization called the Florida High Tech Corridor Council with a mission of attracting, retaining, and growing high-tech industry and the workforce to support it. And we are state-funded, as I indicated. We spend most of our funds on that which you've been kind to provide us the award for, and that is our matching grants research program. We have, in our first 15 years, funded 1,200 research projects with close to 400 companies engaging in the process, some 1,200. As we somewhat tongue-in-cheek say, 1,200 starving doctoral and graduate students to work side-by-side with professors or associate professors serving as the principal investigators, and also then side-by-side with the company engineers and technicians to do applied research projects. They're all applied research projects designed to help companies in our 23-county region improve their products or services so that they will be more successful. They will stay here and grow here, or in some cases decide to come here because of the potential of partnering with our two, and as of 2005, our three universities. We've invested more than $55 million in those projects. The companies have matched with their funds and federal funds a total value of over $1 billion. And so as you can tell, perhaps by my voice, we're very proud of the program. You have honored us in the best possible way by recognizing the strength of our program. And again, Rob, thank you. Thank the folks at SSTI for the opportunity to share a backgrounder on what the Florida High Tech Corridor Council and what its matching grants research program is all about.
And to start off with, I guess the next follow-up question I'd like to talk about is you discussed the fact that you wanted to transition from major companies like AT&T to small and medium-sized businesses. How does the council promote the grants program to those small and medium-sized businesses?
Well, several ways. Number one, if I may, just a slight edit, we have kept the visage of partnering with all companies, regardless of their size. So whether it's a Lockheed or a Harris Corporation or a Raytheon or a Siemens or a Progress Energy or the like, we still do partner with large companies, but the majority of our grants go to small to mid-sized companies. And the word of mouth helps. Your recognition, certainly on the national level, helps. The recognition we received last year about the same time from the International Economic Development Council in a similar award from a global standpoint, being the best of the best. So your accolade, their accolade, recognition amongst the almost 400 companies that we've partnered with, plus the advantage we also have is that we are, our service area is 23 counties in the central part of the great state of Florida. So when you have a combination of the second, the fourth, and the ninth largest universities partnering and an organization that's part of those, like the Florida High Tech Corridor Council, with state funding, and we also then have funds to partner with our economic development organizations in our region, as well as workforce boards and state and community colleges. It's really a concerted effort on the part of all of those to let it be known in chambers of commerce, in economic development organizations, and workforce organizations, and our college and other partners that these funds exist. I think, though, to your point, it's a never-ending battle to try to be the best that you can be, the best of the best, in terms of making sure that you do the best you can of getting the word out that these funds are available. The real key, I think, if I may share with the listeners, is that unlike some programs around the country, we do not ask for our funds back. Our funds are an investment in those companies so that they will come here, start here, grow here, stay here, but in the process hire our graduates and others looking for meaningful, high-paying jobs in our region.
Speaking about that, what are the funds typically used for, and how large is the average grant that the council provides through the program?
Good question. We have done grants as small as $5,000, our portion of the match. We have a very high-tech formula. Hope your listeners will appreciate. If you're a small company, we require a dollar-to-dollar match. If you're a mid-sized company, 2-to-1. If you're a large company, 3-to-1. And knowing the quality of your listeners, I probably don't have to re-explain that formula. But it's pretty straightforward. Our average grant is around $50,000.
Okay.
We have done grants as high as $250,000, our half, if you will. And it must be a cash match. Early on, as we were starting the program, we accepted in-kind matches as well because equipment is needed in universities, as you well know.
Yes.
But right now we require a cash match, and that in-kind is on top of that. And an example might be Rini Technologies, a graduate of the UCF Incubator Program. Dan Rini, a doctor in engineering, started the company in the incubator, has graduated. Has 13,000 square feet of manufacturing space and about 35 employees, average payroll 70,000. And he has two products. He has cooling system products for a small cooling system that easily fits inside. It's about the size of a small bottle of water. With the tubing, fits inside a uniform of a first responder. So improving the efficiency of that cooling system. Either the materials used or from materials research, or the mechanics of the little engine that drives it, what have you. Those would be an example of some of the type of applied research project, that we would fund. Similarly with a large company, perhaps like Siemens, helping them improve the viscosity of the fluids used, in their turbines. To make them more efficient, and therefore the companies using those turbines to make them greener in their provision of power.
Now you've mentioned it, and you talked about it earlier when discussing the brief history of the organization. What factors do you think are necessary for the academic private relationship to succeed? And what advice would you give to other organizations looking to replicate the council's model?
I'll use the Dr. M.J. Swallow explanation, and hopefully your listeners will enjoy this. If you try to force a professor to do something, As MJ indicates, they will take great strides to explain to you the meaning of the word tenure. In our world, though, as MJ would then quickly hasten to add, if you put some money on the table that is fairly accessible, we don't make them jump through too many hoops. Of course, we have an application process, but compared to going after an NIH grant or whatever type of federal grant you're looking to go after, an SBIR, SDTR grant, our grant application process is fairly simple, fairly clean and straightforward. Tell us what you're going to do, how you're going to engage our students, and you, to the best estimate, your outcomes. What do you need in terms of resources, and what is the science, and do you see it creating jobs downstream? That's pretty much the guts of it. So MJ's observation is if you put that money on the table and make it fairly readily available, people will beat a path to your door because, in our world, for your listeners' benefit, we do not ask for the money back. So we have one other ingredient, I might add, and that is for the listeners who represent corporations, if you have a connection with the university, one of our three universities, that's great. If you do not have one, we have a team in place at each university that will help you find the right professor to do the matching grants project with you. Again, applied research project.
And I guess as we're wrapping up here, do you have any lessons that you have learned that might benefit similar organizations other than everything that you've so greatly mentioned and talked about?
Yes, you have to have, in our world, a university that is not only willing, but aggressively wants to be part of the economic development, the innovation development, the innovation ecosystem in their service area. In our world, our three presidents, I'm going to paraphrase one of their commitments, in addition to being number one universities in the country, all three of them, and graduate research and student education. They all want to be partnering universities. So you've got to, in my world, with 15 years now of experience, you've got to have a commitment to and a track record of willing to be a very aggressive partner with companies in your region. And as well in our world, you have to have a legislature and a administration, office of government, the governor of the state, that sees the value of this investment. It is an investment, as you've heard me say several times, your listeners have, we do not ask for our money back. But when I share with you 1,200 projects, 2,400 students engaged, 400 companies, $55 million with a literal return of over $1 billion, you can see why we do not ask for our money back from the company time after time. But in fact, look at that as an investment in our universities and in our companies and therefore in our state. So you've got to have a legislature, both House and Senate, as well as the governor's office, that are willing to step up and approve these funds on a recurring basis. To me, that is the most significant lesson learned that the folks that are listening can learn. These funds need to be there on a repetitive, reliable basis. Therefore, they need to be recurring. And then let the organization, in our case, three great universities that run these programs for me, let them demonstrate the success of their efforts in helping, again, the companies, the high-tech companies in their regions, again, come here, start here, grow here, stay here.
If you could really quickly expand upon, what do you think is the appeal that the council brings to these politicians going through a few governors through that time period that keeps the commitment, I mean, obviously multiple legislatures, that keeps them committed to the program?
I would submit the limited marketing dollars that we have for marketing and public relations where, again, we're not a membership organization. Mm-hmm. So we do not have to deal with membership retention, membership entertainment, membership dues. We're a funding organization designed to partner with those organizations that are membership organizations and in return for our funding to help promote our region as a high-tech region. Our chambers of commerce in our 23 counties, our economic development organizations, they're all here to help us tell the world our story that we are a high-tech region. And so when you have recognition coming from Thailand, the leadership of Thailand, the U.S. ambassador to Thailand, when you have recognition coming from South Dakota, coming from the State Science and Technology Institute, coming from Haines City, Florida, as well as coming from our own legislature and our governor's office, it's based on the success of our program, I would submit, and the thanks to you, the recognition of the success of the program. But I believe it's also based on the fact that the organizations that we are helping fund to help tell our story, our chambers of commerce and our economic development organizations, our state colleges and our workforce boards, they are using their lobbying efforts, because we're not a lobbying organization. They're using their lobbying efforts to help continue to tell our story in Tallahassee, the state capital of the great state of Florida.
Well, Randy, I just wanted to thank you for speaking with us today. Between all the kind words you said about SSTI and just being able to provide your knowledge to our listeners, if our listeners would like to learn more about the Florida High Tech Corridor Council and its programs, they can visit your website at floridahightech.com. And for those interested in learning more about the SSTI Awards program, they can visit SSTIAwards.org.
Bye.